God's children have come to these services this weekend to be comforted and uplifted in faith. Many have come with prayers in their hearts. We have prayers for a brother and his family who goes through cancer treatment. Our prayers that he would go into remission and have full recovery. We remember all those who have emotional and mental struggles. They travel a stress-filled time of life, and some even ponder how to stay in living faith. Prayers are requested for siblings who have gone astray. The prayer of their recently departed mother was that all of her children could remain in faith. As she endeavored to take their hand and guide, feed, and instruct, the prayer is that these siblings would be able to take the hand of the congregation mother and to accept and believe that the morsels of grace that come from the hand of the Heavenly Father are still sufficient to carry them to be reunited with their dear mother. A believing grandfather asked for the prayers of the believers for his little angel, who is growing up in a home without believing parents, that she would be protected all of her life and remain in living faith. A sister who is experiencing many health trials asked for prayers that she could find relief and also have strength to remain in faith. A request on behalf of spouses and their families, as one of the parents have been lost to the joys of the world. May those remaining in faith be given strength and be remembered by all in their prayers. A family requests prayers on behalf of their unbelieving children and siblings. A young husband prays for his wife that she could find her place in the congregation as a young mother, and for his children that God would always protect them, and for himself that he could do his duties as a father and husband faithfully. A prayer that a dear sister and her husband could receive the grace of repentance and carry the hope of the everlasting future in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know each one of us. You know our needs. You know our trials. You know our suffering. We ask, dear Father, on behalf of these who have offered their prayers up before the congregation unto you, and behalf of all God's children, that you would hear our prayers, that you would give strength to meet the trials of this life, that you would give understanding, that we could realize your will, and that you could give peace, that we would be at peace with our situation in life, and knowing that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the hope of everlasting life in heaven. Amen. Let us open this afternoon communion service with thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come to these services this weekend with that hope and expectation in our hearts that you would feed us, that your word would not only guide and counsel us, but it would remind us of that hope of everlasting life in heaven. We thank you, dear Father, that you have given us this time, that we can put the cares of this daily life behind us, set them aside for a few days, and we can concentrate on this wonderful gift of our faith that you have given to us. We ask, dear Father, that through your word, you would bless us, that we could leave from this service and these services this weekend uplifted and strengthened in faith. Amen. I had thought for our service this afternoon that we would read from the Psalm of David, a psalm that I would dare say is familiar to most of us, his 23rd psalm. We read these words in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I want to join together with all the brothers that have served here already this weekend, bringing greetings from my home congregation in Dunblane. These festive services are looked forward by both those who are able to be here, but also those who cannot and join in online. And God's children, wherever we are gathered, we are remembered by those who are not able to be together with us. This psalm that David has written, a psalm that I prefaced here by calling a well-known psalm, is one that feels like it brings so much comfort. When David was a ruler in the country of Israel, he had his trials, and they were well documented. They're well known if we've read the scriptures, and even many times are preached on those times when he fell into sin, those times when he was fearing for his own life. But God always was with him. God protected him. God guided him. And most importantly, God preserved him as one of his own. And so this feeling that David had in his heart, one of joy and happiness and thankfulness, is reflected in the writings of David. And this psalm reflects those feelings of his. He begins with these words, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when we think in our own lives of faith, we join in these same words of David, saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. When we ponder our lives and we consider all that God has given to us, we have to conclude that we do not want. Our brother that spoke here in the sermon prior to the lunch break spoke of how God's word seems to be received by people who don't have so much in this daily life. Poor people. And yet, in our society here in North America, in Canada, in Finland, or Canada and the U.S., and Finland as well, Sweden, we live a good lifestyle. We have affluence. God has blessed us with much. And we have to, in light of this, say that God has given us much. But more importantly, God has given to each one of his children that gift of faith. that we have the hope of everlasting life in heaven because we believe that our sins are washed away in the name and the blood of Jesus. And in this sense, we truly do not want. When we hold this gift of faith in our hearts, we are focused on the most important matter in this life, the matter of being ready when the call comes from our Lord Jesus to leave from this life into life eternal. David goes on in this psalm and he speaks here of the many things that in his mind God does for him. He has a list of them there. He says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When David wrote here that the Lord maketh him or maketh me to lie down in green pastures, I often reflect on these words, on the simple message that he is speaking here. That mental picture that I'm sure we can all conjure up in our minds of that serene image of a green field and rolling hills perhaps. The sun is shining down, the temperature is moderate, and the animals, whatever they be, the cattle, the sheep, or whatever beast, are content there in that field. I think of cattle because those are the most familiar ones to me. And when cattle are content, they're walking along slowly, head down, grazing. And when they are full, they lie down and they rest and they chew on that food that has been ingested, that cud. And to me, that is a picture of contentment. I'm sure this is something that most of you can also picture, that picture of contentment. But then when I was thinking of these services coming this weekend, I was thinking, this site, our service site, is similar in that sense. It's a large, open, grassy field. These tents and buildings that are here are set up for the purpose of these services. But what do we find here when we come to these services? We find fellow travelers in faith, God's children. We hear the Word of God being preached, that Word that feeds our hungering souls. We are reassured in this walk of faith. And to me, that is a picture of contentment. I picture myself as that cow resting there on the grass, content and at ease with what God has given. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You all know, along with me, that this travel, this journey through life, is not always beside still waters. There are many trials. There are many times when we feel our own sinfulness. There are times when we feel fear. There are times when perhaps we even feel distanced from God's kingdom. And we ask ourselves, that am I still a believer? Those aren't times that we could picture lying beside still waters. But so many of the visits that I have had this weekend with others, and I'm sure many of you have also had these similar types of visits, we reflect on where God's kingdom has come from in North America in the past few years. And we are marveling and thankful at the peace and the unity that we experience in God's kingdom. And there, I think, we find a picture of still waters. God's kingdom is peaceful, like those waters with hardly a ripple. We feel the joy and the happiness that God's peace has brought to us as individuals, but also that has been blessed into His kingdom. When there is unity in faith, there's not a voice that speaks a different message. There's not a questioning and a demanding voice that is attempting to undermine the teachings of God's Word. But it is quiet and it is peaceful. He restoreth my soul. And isn't it when we experience these times when we are resting in those green pastures and we are laying beside the still waters that we feel the restoration of our soul? How that peace of God fills our hearts, and how we are at peace not only with God, but at peace with ourselves. Knowing that and recognizing that I am a sinful person, I am not perfect, but that I can look to my Lord and Savior Jesus, who died on the cross, He who shed His blood and gave His life for me. And I can be at peace with that. I know that when I fall, I can go to a brother or sister and I can hear that message of the gospel that all your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And isn't that what we always want to hear, dear brother and sister? We want to hear that precious message, that gospel, that glad tidings of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And even now, at this moment, each one of you, as you have come here to these services and this service today, with your doubts and your fears, even those sins that you may be carrying on the conscience, you may uplift your heart, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And it is through the power of this gospel that we can remain traveling as God's children here in this kingdom. The last item that David had listed here of the things that his Lord does for him, he said that He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I think this would be a good prayer that we would pause around, that God would continue to guide each one of us and lead us on those paths of righteousness. Those paths that are not created by man, those paths that we cannot create on our own, but those paths that have been laid out for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus. We have this picture of our walk of faith as a walk down a narrow path, a path that has been referred to already in these services, the path that is shown in our service motto. This path is a narrow path, but also along that path is shown individuals, and especially we focus on the one who is on the same path. the one who is there to help and to be able to share the gospel, the one who is a fellow traveler in faith. And we have all been placed on that path through the love of our Heavenly Father, that He gave us this gift of faith. Through that faith, we are able to believe that Jesus died for our sins, and that through Him we can get to heaven. He acknowledges that this walk in life, this walk of faith, is never an easy one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I think if we consider these words of David, we can see ourselves on that, in that valley of the shadow of death. Each one of us carries this earthly portion, and it's so close to us. We feel how sinful we are. We know and we acknowledge that we will fall into sin. And when we feel the heavy weight of sin on our hearts, we feel that we are walking through this valley of the shadow of death. And why would we look at it in such a way? When we are traveling with sin on our conscience, we know that this is wrong before God. Sin displeases God. And we know through faith that if we don't put that sin away, we are in danger of losing this gift of faith. When we lose our gift of faith, we no longer travel in the light. We are no longer children of the light. The light of our Lord Jesus no longer shines from our heart. We can easily picture ourselves walking down that valley of the shadow of death. And it's not a place that we want to find ourselves. We want to be able to travel in the light of the kingdom of God. We want to be able to travel with our brothers and sisters in faith, where we feel the comfort of those around us, those who are on the same journey of faith, those who feel the same trials and the same sinfulness. We don't want to walk down this long, dark, shadowy valley. I picture that walk as being one lonely walk, a walk of one. I can't find in my mind a picture that would portray it in any other way. When I think of those times when I carry sin on my conscience and I'm burdened by that sin, and I really feel the need that I have to go and put this sin away. I need to be relieved of that burden. It feels like I am terribly alone. That there is no one else that knows how I feel. There is no one else who has ever traveled with such sin on their heart. I know this isn't true. But the enemy of souls, he preaches those messages to me. And it feels like I'm walking down a long, dark, shadowy valley. The valley of the shadow of death. But he says, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. When we fall into sin, dear brother and sister, does that mean that we have given up our gift of faith? I'm sure if I asked this question to a group of Sunday school children, their hands would go up and the answer that they would give me would be no. God's grace carries us. If it weren't so, we would be lost. But God's grace carries us. We are able to travel from victory to victory, from moment to moment when we are able to hear the gospel, believe once again, and promise that we will believe the power that my sins are forgiven. And we know that we fall into sin even without our knowledge. And so God's grace carries us as long as we have that desire in our heart to serve Him and the desire to reach heaven. Don't burden yourself over these matters that sin keeps me away or leads me in a place where I can no longer get back. When you have the hope or the desire in your heart to be with God, to serve God, to get to heaven, God will ensure that you are able to travel putting sin away. But the time to be fearful is when you no longer fear sin. You no longer fear that voice of your conscience speaking to you and telling you that you have fallen into sin and you need to put those sins away. Listen to that voice of the conscience. David trusted. When he spoke of this valley of the shadow of death, he said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He was assured that God was with him, that he was not alone, and that along with that, God's rod and staff were a comfort for him. Then David went on to say how that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And surely God takes care of us, each one of us, in this same way. And even thinking of this special communion service that we are gathered here together for, God has prepared His table for us. We have before us here the elements that represent the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we come to the communion table, it will be in our minds to remember that Jesus died for our sins, that His blood was shed to wash away our sins. And David says, "My cup runneth over." Those blessings that God gives us, those blessings of our life, but more importantly, those blessings of our faith, we acknowledge, "My cup runneth over." God has been a good God. He has taken care of each one of us, and He will continue to take care of us as we journey towards heaven. And then he concludes in this way. He says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So after David has gone through his thoughts on the goodness of God, God is the Lord is his shepherd and blesses all that he needs, and how he is guided in his life of faith. And even though he has those times of trial and sin in his life, God yet is good and looks after him. He speaks this word that of assurance that he feels in his own heart. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." David knows that as long as he continues to travel in the grace care of the Heavenly Father, as long as he looks to his Lord and Savior Jesus as the one who is the key to heaven, he knows that God will continue to bless him in his life. Do we remember to always consider the goodness that God brings to us in our life? Or are you like me, that it's easy to become unhappy with what I have in my life? It's easy to grumble and to complain because I don't get what I think I need and what I know I want. And then it's hard to join in the spirit of these words and say that goodness and mercy shall surely follow me all the days of my life. But as long as I can be reminded of the suffering and death of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you, dear brother and sister as well, that you can remember that Jesus died for your sins and he shed his blood so that your sins would be washed away as far as away as the east is from the west, as God's word tells us, that we can enjoy and understand the blessings that God has given to us. And we can look ahead and say that surely goodness and mercy will follow me, and that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And isn't that the goal of each one of God's children today? You and I, dear brother and sister in faith, that we would hope, we have that hope in our hearts that we can make it to heaven. That through the merit works of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we will reach those heavenly shores. I encourage each one of you as you come forward today to the communion table to partake of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, that you come here with thankfulness in your hearts. Put away all those sins and those doubts that are burdening you, and believe them forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This gospel will carry us to the end of this journey. Even now, once again, uplift your hearts, believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And I ask you, feeling my own poorness and weakness, that can I still hear that gospel for my sins and my doubts? I promise to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.